Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look over to my right, and who do I see? The great one, Doug Tonis, the podfather and my partner on the show. How you doing, brother?
Just living the dream, Brad, you know, as always.
Good to hear, my friend. Good to hear. Doug, I got to tell you, as we take this metaphysical bus out every week, I feel as though in the last year I've been, delinquent? What's the word I'm trying to say? It means not doing a good job. Give me a good adjective for that.
Terrible?
Poor?
Lousy?
No, give me a better, more smart-sounding word for... All right. I haven't done a good job in reaching out to the general public. We haven't made stops at people's houses to get them on the bus, to get them interested in what we have to say, to acknowledge their thoughts. I'm going to do a better job of that going forward, so... Just so you're aware of that, I want everybody who's interested, send us emails at credfred@gmail.com. And then if you have any questions for the show, I'd be happy to take those up on the next episode. What say you? Are you down with that?
I mean, sure. Well, I'll answer questions.
We're men of the people, and I feel as though we've just kind of taken the bus out and said, you know, screw everybody else. Let's just drive around the expressways and then bring it back into the garage without even stopping to visit and pick people up. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're saying.
You know what I'm getting at? All I'm trying to say is I want more listener interaction.
Okay.
Because I think us taking the bus out.
I got it. Send us emails to credfred@gmail.com.
Send us emails.
Which is definitely
there
us.
There you go. Let's move on.
Completely not you, but definitely us.
Yeah. Well, when it comes in, then I'll share the email.
Okay.
With you. All right. So perfect. Let's get on to the topic at hand, which is, holy cow, basketball's almost here. First of all, before we get to that, the USA lost to Canada today. Is this true? I've been getting texts. I haven't verified the fact, but is it true? Did the U.S. lose to Canada?
No.
In FIBA basketball? No.
The U.S. lost to Germany, and they will play Canada.
Did the U.S. lose to Canada today?
The U.S. did not lose to Canada. The U.S. lost to Germany, and they will play Canada.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to be kidding me. So I did not hear that. That's a massive loss. Does this mean they can't even win the...
They cannot. The Canada game is the bronze medal game.
Oh, my. So did Canada lose?
Canada lost to Serbia.
Holy smokes. This is pretty shocking because I thought the U.S. and Canada were headed for a battle. Now they're going to go in for the bronze.
They are headed for a battle for the bronze.
Kind of anticlimactic, if you ask me. I'm just shocked to hear it. What's your take on that? What's your opinion? Do you even care?
Well, no. I don't care. Do you care? Why would anyone care?
I care as long as we beat... Australia. That's all I care about because there's a certain resident of Australia who likes to throw grenades every once in a while at USA basketball. I still feel big picture, although the rest of the world has clearly cut the gap, I'd still say the vast majority of great basketball players on the planet reside in the United States. I think the best overall, if you're talking about, let's anyone who's born in a country, let's all play on a massive, you know, event like the Olympics or so. I'd still bet if the best players of every country go to play, I think the U.S. would win 9 out of 10 times. That's not to say that some other countries have made tremendous strides, and it's clear they have, obviously. I mean, my goodness, we lost to Germany today, which is a complete embarrassment. But, you know, big picture, I still have a tad bit of pride in USA basketball. What's it?
I could care less. I mean, I couldn't care less. I guess
this is not a very good segment, no, I mean, so let's move on. All I got to say is...
Can I bring it into a good segment for you?
Yeah, sure.
So there was some guy made headlines because he said the NBA shouldn't call themselves world champions, and it's not everyone in the world playing. And my feedback to that was, this is such a weird ass European way of looking at things. Like, do we have to be the champion of the world? Do you have to split the players by nation? I mean, like, all the best players in the world play in the NBA, right? Like, they all play in the NBA.
No doubt.
So, if all the best players...
Well, Denzel Valentine is playing in Australia.
Yeah, so all the best players play in the NBA. And so...
How dare you?
So, like, it is the best league in the world. It has the most rigorous competition in the world. It's made of the best players of all nationalities in the world. Like, the idea of a world championship is just this European state idea when they all wanted to play soccer against each other and they just made the teams up by nation. But there's no reason that, like, splitting the best players in the world by nation makes it a world championship, better than taking the best players in the world and splitting them up in some other way and playing makes it a world championship. Like, it's just someone just, they've been doing it so long that they said, oh, well, world championship means that it has to be all from one nationality. Why? If you got the 10 best players in the world on one team, that would be the best team in the world, if, you know, regardless of where they're from, if they're all from different countries. It's just this weird European geopolitical thing that's existed for so long where there's this national pride and like, well, it's only a world championship if it works like the Olympics. No, it's a world championship if the best players in the world are all in one place. And whoever wins that league, the highest competition in the world, is the world champion. That's a different way of doing things, but it's no less valid. You know, the way you choose to split up the best players in the world, there's no reason to be a world champion. They have to be split by a nationality. That's the nation state champion. You're the best nation in the world. And so whatever, the U.S. probably still is the best nation in the world. I mean, like, clearly we aren't sending our best players to the World Cup. I mean, we can't even send our best players to the Olympics. Like, the best basketball U.S. players don't even care about the Olympics enough to go all the time. So the World Cup people are like, yeah, probably sending very mediocre players. And, you know, the players on Germany, like, they had Daniel Theiss, they had Dennis Schroeder, they had Franz Wagner.
Yeah, NBA players.
Franz Wagner actually kicked the U.S.'s butt, you know, if you want to tie it into the Bulls.
That hurts.
So, yeah. Like,
but we got the great recruiter. Yeah,
whatever, we got the great recruiter. So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that came out and it just annoys me. And all these soccer people, I mean, football people, because they're from Europe, are like, no, it has to be all by state. No, this is the best nation state championship. If you split guys by nation and you're the best nation, you win the best nation state championship.
Well said. And then, you know, like, I remember, I'm old enough to remember the Dream Team. I do remember feeling great joy in that because, you know, before, we were just sending our collegiate players while other countries were sending their pros. And when they would win a gold medal or beat our collegians, our best collegiate players, they would celebrate like it was an accomplishment. And then finally we sent Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and sent a message to the rest of the world. Oh, yeah, the United States is the best when it comes to the sport. I've lost, obviously, a little bit of passion about that over the years as you get older. And I think most people, for the most part, do. But I still am glad to say that we're better than Australia. So that's a nice message to our friend.
I could care less whether we're better than
despite Australia. Despite the efforts of the great Josh Giddey. Did he even play? Do you know? I don't really care, but did he play?
I don't sure remember in Australia. I only started playing. I only watched one game, and that was today's game. This is my total viewing of U.S. basketball.
God bless the Boomers. I'd always pick you if you played Chile or, Venezuela. Those two countries I'm pretty sure you can defeat. Anyhow, let's move on to topics of a more concerning or important nature, which is the beloved Bowl. Man, the season's almost here, Doug. Starting up on, I think, October 2nd, spring training or fall training. What's the term? Training camp. Training camp starts. They're actually going to Nashville.
Proud of you for getting Nashville that one out
this
it
year.
Seemed like it was a struggle.
So, any comments on that? That the fact that they're actually playing in Nashville as opposed to the I almost said Birdo Center as opposed to the Advocate Center.
I thought you were going to say instead of Bourbon A where the Bears play
or Platteville.
That's where I thought you were going.
If you really want to push it back,
like, no, they don't. That's the Bears, Fred. I mean,
NFL is on the mind. I got to be
Whatever. This is going to be the dumbest podcast we've ever produced. I can tell already.
I'm enjoying it so far.
We're talking about,
I think it's
are the
pretty insightful.
The Bulls, I just called them the Sox. Are they playing in Bourbon A, which is the wrong team and the wrong place? No, I mean, I don't care if we practice in Nashville. Like, this is the invent a story segment of the offseason. Can we talk about how the Lakers signed Christian Wood and the Bulls didn't get him? Is that also a big storyline? It's like running around Twitter. Like,
it's a quasi story.
I don't know. This is just, it's just that time of year where it's like we've gotten through August. We're hoping to get the training camp start so we can get some quotes and some actual news. Maybe we can overreact to a preseason game, you know, in another month. But yeah, it's like nothing's going on. You shouldn't care anything about anything right now. That's my thought.
Well, I do want to talk about Christian Wood a little
bit
because he obviously signed for the Lakers at a minimum contract. And
yeah,
you know, that's fine. That's fine. But I did notice a few people out there, you know, arguing that the Bulls should have signed him to shore up their front court. Let's just start with this. Christian Wood is not a good defender. That's the major problem with this team is they can't protect the rim. He's terrible at it. Yeah, he can shoot the three, but, you know, regardless what people think, the whole league isn't dumb. This guy's been with a number of teams, and there's something about this guy that is not conducive to winning and conducive to, hey, let's get him on our team. Let's keep him on our team. It's clear. So, like, I'm not going to lose any sleep over the loss of Christian Wood, you know, being attached to the roster. If you're going to bring in a guy like that, you absolutely need a LeBron James or a player of that stature who's going to at least keep him in line, a la how Jordan did with Dennis Rodman. What say you?
I'd say that maybe makes sense. I don't know. I don't care about Christian Wood.
Or it does make
sense. The whole league passed on him. He signed for a minimum. He clearly wanted as much money as he could get. And the minimum was as most as he could get. Maybe it'll work out for the Lakers. Maybe it won't. We weren't going to pay him that money. So it doesn't really matter. You know, because he signed for a two-year minimum. So it was not eligible for the vet minimum exception. When you do a second year, you get paid your actual salary. So even if we waived the guy and whatever, we would have still been in the tax and we weren't going to go in the tax. So we had no real chance.
Don't you think there's an issue with, hey, people are paying for shooting. People want shooting, especially from a front court player, a big man. Isn't there something about this guy that, to me, it's like a huge red flag that he's not in demand when he has that skill?
Of course it's a red flag. He just signed for the minimum. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, is there anyone who disagrees with that? Is there anyone who thinks Christian Wood is like amazing and there's no red flags? Like, I don't know that this is even a discussion. Like, yeah, of course. Like, literally, of course. We know that Christian Wood is not well liked. Like, yeah, duh.
So
no duh.
He's not going to make a difference for the beloved Bull. I'm glad we didn't sign him. It's not like you shouldn't.
I mean, like you wouldn't care if we
Please
signed
stop
him.
Stop wringing your hands
like,
about
if
it.
If we had Christian Wood instead of Carly Jones, you'd be upset about it.
The way Carly Jones has played in FIBA, I absolutely would prefer Carly Jones.
Who gives a crap? We just talked about how FIBA is like ridiculously unimportant.
Yeah, but to support this argument, I think FIBA is important.
See, under this context, FIBA is amazing and Carly Jones is a stud. Got it. Makes sense. Math checks out now for me. I appreciate the clarification.
I will say, as an aside, there's an article out there on ESPN from who's a Hoop Collective guy? God. The guy who runs the Hoop Collective, he's LeBron James' buddy, the writer from ESPN.
Oh, is that?
Oh my God,
Brian Windhorst.
Brian Windhorst had an excellent article about the Sudanese.
Are you sure he had an excellent article? The Brian Windhorst we're talking about.
Yeah, he had an article about the Sudanese team and Luol Deng.
Okay, I mean, it's just you said Carly Brian Jones. Windhorst and excellent, and I just wasn't sure if that was what you meant.
I like Brian Windhorst overall. Oh, God. I will admit. I don't know why you don't like him. I like him. In fact,
awful.
Show
That's why I don't like him.
Is one of my favorite podcasts. I highly recommend
it. Oh, God, that podcast is so awful.
You're in a bad mood today, dude. Come on, we're taking
a it's just an beautiful. Awful podcast. Like, we like a lot of the same podcasts. Like, so we both like The Low Post. We think that's good.
Right? Love it. Back this
All
week.
Right, so that maybe awesome. We both like Bill Simmons, right?
Love Bill Simmons' show. Yes, especially
and Bill's got like a lot of good guys that come on the show, and it's not always serious. Like his is a little funny. I don't know if you listen to Nate Duncan because it's a paid podcast.
Yeah, occasionally.
But I love Nate Duncan. I mean, he has some free episodes, but I actually pay the subscription to listen to Dunkdown. We both like Dunkdown, but yeah, Brian Windhorst. I'd not care for the Hoop Collective podcast at all. It may be that it's just so guest centric, but I think they just do a poor job of like moderating, passing the mic around, and I don't know, whatever. Anyway, I don't want to just rip.
Oh,
on
Tim
Brian
McMahon.
What's your point? Brian Windhorst wrote an article that was interesting. Let's go to that. Let's not just
Tim Bontemps and Tim McMahon, Bam McMahon. When he has those two guys on, it's an excellent show. It's always at the last one of the weeks. Yeah, so he had an excellent article about Luol Deng's involvement with the Sudanese team in FIBA. And Carly Jones has played incredible. I had no idea about some of these stories. Really worthwhile reading as an aside. So how did we get here from Christian Wood? Oh, I said I'd prefer Carly Jones to Christian Wood.
You like Carly Jones more than Christian Wood.
And I mean that 100%. So everybody stop wringing your hands about Christian Wood. He's out of the picture, and we'll never hear from him again. Now let's talk a little bit about as the season and training camp opens up. I'd like to get these predictions here for all posterity as we go forward. What I want now is from you to provide your prediction on what our coach, Billy Donovan, will pick as the starting five to open up the season before even we get into training camp. And then also I'd like your opinion on what you think that starting five should be.
I have no idea what he'll do, to be honest. I don't. Do you have an idea what he'll do?
Yeah, I think I do.
Maybe you do. I mean, yeah, we know that Zach, Vooch, and DeMar are going to start, right?
Yep.
Like, no one's going to argue that. So it's really just, it's really all between Javon Carter and Kobe White at point guard and Torrey Craig and Pat Williams at power forward. And then maybe Alex Caruso could start at any of those positions. But I think they'll just bring Caruso off the bench because they've just kind of historically done that a lot.
I
feel like what they should do is they should start probably Javon Carter and then the big three and then Torrey Craig. And then I would bring White and Pat off the bench. And I'd probably play those guys more minutes. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I wouldn't play minutes. I'd probably play those guys more minutes, but I would probably start those other guys. And maybe like in a Keith Bogans type of way when I say to start them.
Interesting. That's a good parallel between him and, I'd say, Torrey Craig, who I think out of the two players, the signings, I think Carter's a lot better than Craig. I just have a lot more faith in Carter continuing his shooting than I do in Craig, who
I agree with that. In my statement, when I use the Keith Bogans thing, is like, the thought is not that I'm like, wow, these guys are better. It's just that they're both really low usage guys that can defend and just shoot open shots.
Yeah.
And I agree with what you said, that Craig is the more suspect of the two. And I just want Pat Williams to get more chances on the ball. And Kobe White clearly is going to operate better with more chances on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so those guys coming off the bench and playing 100% of the minutes that you don't have all three of the big three on the floor is going to give the roster better balance and give them better opportunities to grow. Your closing lineup might be Kobe White, Pat Williams, and the big three.
Yeah.
If you think those are your best five players. But I want 100% of the minutes where you don't have all three of the big three on the floor to have both Pat Williams and Kobe White on the floor to give them as much chance to grow as possible. And, you know, I think if you use them in, like, say, we'll say a Manu Ginobili role to, like, flip it the other way, you know, you basically got Craig and Carter in the Keith Bogans role and those two in the Manu Ginobili role. They still play more minutes. They're still important. We still acknowledge they're better players, but I think it gives the team better balance.
I suspect they're going to go with the big three and Williams and Carter as a starting five. I would counter, based on what I saw in the last month of the season, and if you're really going to pick the best five players to start the game, which I think should be, I can understand why teams would do that, and I think that should be the goal of every team. Let's start with your best five. I think that would be Kobe White. Absolutely would be there at the point guard position. I saw enough growth from him as a passer last year and as a shooter, especially down the stretch, to think that he's better than Carter. He is. And then I'd also start Torrey Craig as a defender, because I think he's a better, more vet player than Williams. He impacts winning more than Williams does, just based on what I've seen so far. That's not to say I hope that Williams – I think Williams obviously clearly has a much higher ceiling than Torrey Craig, but just right now, based on what we saw at the end of the season, I mean, Patrick Williams was benched, so I don't know why this is really going to be a controversial statement. I also agree with you that I'd like to see more from Williams, and I think he plays better off the bench when you have a couple of the big three out of there and he can get more opportunities to score and do things on the offensive end. So I think that's, if you want to optimize wins and make this team as best, as good as possible, start with Kobe White and start with Torrey Craig and then bring Carter and Williams off the bench. But I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing we didn't really touch on much here is if you're going to start your best five players, Caruso is one of those players.
That's a really good point. I should like, probably mention that.
You could even argue
Caruso would be
Carter and Caruso. You could start Caruso at power forward.
I take this back. I take it back. Let me redo it over. I'd take Caruso ahead of Torrey Craig. So I'd start Kobe, Caruso, and the big three. I think that's your best lineup. Do you agree that you think that's our best lineup? If you had to put money on it right now,
it depends. I agree those are the five best players. And best lineup maybe depends on who you're going against. Like, that lineup has some weaknesses that maybe you know, in some spaces, Pat Williams might be part of the best lineup, or Torrey Craig might be part of the best lineup, depending which of those is better, because you need more physicality against your opponent.
Yeah. Let me ask you
but I think generally, from a generic standpoint, that is probably your best lineup.
The Bulls,
maybe, like, maybe Javon Carter, though, over Kobe is your best lineup, because you have, like, I don't know that Kobe's strengths are really, I guess, like, on display when he's playing with the big three.
Yeah, that's good.
Whereas
point.
Carter fits in perfectly with them. So as a lineup, as a five-man unit, Carter plus Caruso plus the big three might be your best five-man unit, because Carter and Caruso are going to just give you tremendous on-ball defense, and that's going to fit really well with the other guys, and they don't need a lot of usage.
Very valid point. I would counter that Kobe's improvements in the defensive and passing facilitating areas have alleviated my concerns on that five-man unit. Like, I think he saw that a little bit at the end of the season, that I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet that five-man unit with Kobe, Caruso, and the big three probably did pretty well. It seems like any unit with Caruso on the floor did
sure.
well.
Sure. Well, I mean, we didn't have a chance to have Carter in that unit last year. So
yeah, that's a good point.
If you go back to last year, I think when we got Pat Bev, and then we also put Caruso in the starting lineup, so it was like Bev, Caruso, and the big three. Like, Carter is going to be a lot better than Bev, right? Like, we agree. Like, he's a much better shooter.
I don't think he's going to be a lot better.
I mean, he's a way better shooter. Pat Beverly wouldn't shoot, and he was scared to shoot.
Agreed.
He's like a 40%+ three-point shooter. Defensively, yeah. I think Carter is also much better.
I don't think he's much better. I think he's better.
I think he's better. Maybe much better as a stretch. All right, you got me. But better. I think he's better. I just think he's better than Bev. And so, you know, I think that lineup would be really good. And that lineup with the Bulls did really well last year. So, yeah. I don't think it matters. I think, like, when you get past, maybe even if you count the big three, maybe if you just get past Zach, because I don't think Vooch is really all that great, to be honest. So if you get past DeMar and Zach, who I think are, like, really kind of, you know, like, quasi-star level talent, like your fringe all-stars. I think they're both, like, fringe all-star type talent, which is still really good. Like, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Like, that's your real top-tier talent. After that, like, the next six guys, seven guys, maybe even eight guys on the team, they just bring different things depending what you're looking at and trying to say, oh, this guy is better, or that guy is better, or whatever. I mean, like, there's situations where I think Andre Drummond is better than Vooch.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, it's just after those two guys, it's like, really just depends what you're going up against and what you're trying to do is how I would put it.
So let's go back to you. If you're coaching the team, who would you start? Well, I just want to get this again confirmed for posterity.
I think thinking about it, I would probably, I mean, I want to see how guys play in camp. Based on what I think of guys, like I said, I'd probably start Carter, the big three, and then the last one would either be Caruso or Craig. I would definitely bring Pat off the bench. You know, I'd definitely bring Kobe off the bench for the reason I stated earlier. I think those guys, I probably want them to play more minutes, but I think they'll get better opportunities. They'll get better reps. They'll get more chance to utilize offensive skills coming off the bench. And then I think that creates a stronger lineup throughout the game as a whole by doing that.
Okay.
So for me, it's Carter for sure. And then it's really just like, you know, I also kind of like Caruso off the bench, but I think if you're already bringing Kobe and Pat off the bench, you don't need to bring all three. So I probably would go with Caruso, unless Craig just really impresses me. If Craig's shooting is really legit, and we both have questioned that. If Craig's shooting is really legit, then I think he becomes that starter. It's just so hard to buy in that. It's like you look at it and you're like, if this guy was really legit, why the heck did Phoenix let him go?
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, you know, the Phoenix needs, they signed 11 vet min guys and they let him go. That's like so weird. And he did a great job for them in the playoffs as a starter. So it's just a strange, it's like a super strange thing. You could say the same thing about Javon Carter a little bit with the Bucks, right? Like, that's another team that also like, oh, a 3-and-D guy, that'd be fantastic for us. But, you know, Carter signed a much greater than min-level contract, and the Bucks are in the tax and all this other stuff. Like, I kind of get that one a little bit more. But the Carter one is just weird. It's like, yeah, we signed 11 other guys at the same price as this guy who already proved he could start on a vet min deal, and we didn't want to pay him the vet min. That's just weird.
start Kobe over Carter. I think one thing that we're kind of overlooking, Kobe's like 3 or 4 inches taller than Carter. I think if you're going to be switching,
yeah, but his arms are like T-Rex arms. Like he does not have reach.
That's true. He doesn't have great length. He doesn't have great
length. But no one cares how high your head is.
I think Kobe was showed tremendous improvement as far as being able to guard larger players last year. I thought he did a really rock solid job. Sometimes guys would try to take him in the post. I think he's pretty strong.
I think Kobe is a solid defender.
Yeah.
I think Carter is better, but I think Kobe's a solid defender. I mean, he had a good defensive reputation in college too, right? Like, it's not crazy that like 3 years goes by and all of a sudden, you know, he starts defending towards his reputation in college when he came into the league at 19 and, you know, and he had to hit the weight room and all the other stuff 19-year-olds need to do and learn the NBA game and the players and all this other stuff. Like, I think people just forgot that Kobe was a guy who, you know, originally when his draft profile was like high motor, you know, high defensive energy, you know, kind of like decent all-around skill set at everything and just needed time to grow and probably was viewed as a guy who would be solid kind of like all around, but just needed, you know, was not going to be superstar potential. And we've kind of seen Kobe develop into that player of, yeah, solid passer, solid scorer, solid shooter, defense ticked up a lot, you know, plays with good motor. You know, he's becoming a guy who doesn't take anything off the table and can give you a solid output at pretty much anything.
And I'm most excited about his shooting profile. I mean, he was 40-plus from three. I'll also break on. To me, that's the most exciting development from him because he's never been afraid to shoot, but I always felt at least for the first couple of years, I mean, he was shooting right around 36, 37% from three. I mean, that's good. It's not great. And if you're shooting 40-plus, that's really good. That's great, especially for a guy that has
37% on the year.
Like on the year, yep. Overall.
Let's not get too crazy. Okay, so after the All-Star break in 25 games, he had a hot streak.
Well, that's a significant amount of time. That's a quarter of the season.
Well, but then it's a more significant amount of time, like the other 60 games, that he shot bad enough that he dropped the 40% to 37%.
Well, so he was at 30%
for like, well, yeah, whatever. His on the season, he was 37%.
So, what I'm
like,
saying
I
is,
would not look at just the last 25 games and say like, wow, he learned to shoot in those last 25 games versus he just had a hot streak. And like, I guess, do you expect Kobe White to shoot 40% from three this year?
I do. Based on those last 25 games. I expect him to shoot 40% from three.
You think he has improved? You think he has improved and that this wasn't a streak, but like he is just fundamentally a better shooter now?
Yes. I expect him to shoot 38 to 40% on high volume with very little hesitancy.
Well, I didn't say 38 to 40%. I said, do you think he will shoot over 40%?
Yeah, I'll put money down on that. I think he'll shoot 40%.
I would say very unlikely, but okay.
My counter also, even if, let's say he shoots 38%, Kobe White shooting 38% is more impressive than Patrick Williams shooting 41% in the nature of the shots. He doesn't have any hesitancy. He shoots at a much higher volume.
I agree with that.
Difficult shots. He doesn't take a half an hour to wind up. So, like, him shooting at 38% is a big plus. Like, I just had this debate. I don't know if you've had the groundswell about, hey, we need Vooch. Work the offense through Vooch. And there's people I respect who I've heard on other pods, Casey Johnson, one of them, who kind of started this general discourse around, hey, maybe we should, you know, flow the offense, start it with Vooch in the high post or low post, which I think is ridiculous. I don't believe in that. Like, if the Bulls want to optimize wins, let's just hope Vooch shoots 40% from three again like he did for 1 year in Orlando. That will help us win. More Vooch in a post and him passing out of it is not going to yield wins. That said, if we go in that direction, I ask you, Doug Tonis, the ball goes down to Vooch and he kicks it out for a guy shooting a three on the perimeter. What player in his team do you feel is better suited to knock that down than Kobe White? What high consistency?
I mean, Zach LaVine, clearly.
Oh, I'd say Zach. Yeah, that's all right. You got me there. Outside of Zach, I mean, I guess you can say, well, the stats show that Carter and you know, Williams would knock it down with more regularity. But my point is, they don't shoot it. Well, maybe not Carter, but definitely Williams.
Well, I mean, if
doesn't
it's pure,
shoot it enough.
If it's pure catch and shoots, I don't know what Kobe's pure catch and shoot number is. He shoots a lot off the dribble, and he seems to shoot sometimes even better off the dribble. So, yeah, it's fine. I'm comfortable with Kobe as a shooter. I didn't mean to like make it sound like I dislike his shooting, but he was 38.5% like 2 years ago. And he was 37.2% last year. So like, I'm just saying like, I don't think Kobe, and he shot a lot more threes in that year too. So I'm just saying, I don't think Kobe has improved as a shooter. I think he's just, this is who he is. He's a good, solid shooter. He shoots a pretty good array of shots. Like he shoots step backs and side steps and off the dribble and catch and shoot. Like he takes a full variety of shots. He takes contested ones, you know, and he still hits around, we'll say around 38% over the past 2 years combined. And that's really solid given the degree of difficulty and the volume per minute that he shoots.
Yeah, that's all I'm getting at. Big picture here, if you know, again, the ball goes into Vooch and he kicks out to somebody on a perimeter, there's nobody on the team I'd feel better about shooting that ball with the exception of Zach LaVine and Kobe White, period.
I mean, maybe that's true, but I would say like I probably feel similarly in the same tier with Pat Williams or Javon Carter shooting that ball.
Yeah, yeah.
If Pat Williams has enough time to get the shot off. And he won't shoot it if he doesn't, right?
Yeah, like
you
exactly.
Feel Kobe doesn't need as much time to get the shot off, and so that's the advantage there. If Pat Williams has time, I think he's solid, and Torrey Craig might be just as good too. You know, he was last year; he was close to 40%. You know, kind of under the same Pat Williams kind of low volume. You know, whatever. I think Torrey Craig probably only shot out of the corner, which is like an easy shot, but. Yeah, we'll see. Like, I think the Bulls have a decent amount of shooting options. By getting Craig and Carter, maybe just to roll this back to the big picture, getting Craig and Carter compared to last year, if Craig's shooting translates, even if it's only at like three attempts a game and they're all out of the corner, if his shooting translates again, that is a huge boost this year compared to last year in terms of what the Bulls as a team can do shooting the ball.
All right, so last question before we bring this bus in. I'd love to get your opinion on it. I'm going to run through the players. I want you to tell me, just off the top of your head, do you think this player is going to be better, worse, or equal to what he did last year? Okay?
Sure.
Javon Carter.
I will say worse.
Can we just touch on that for a second? In what way? What do you feel like shooting wise?
I don't know. I just feel like with Giannis on the team, probably his attempts are going to be, you know, a little easier, like whatever. Like, I just think like in his role might be a teeny bit more demanding this year. And statistically, I think it'd be worse. I don't think he'll be like a worse player. I just think statistically he might not fare as well.
Alex Crusoe.
Maybe some of his defense was also because, you know, like the Bucks had a really great team defense with Giannis and Brook Lopez back there. And he may have been able to
protect
be more aggressive
him, yep.
than he'll be able to be on the Bulls. Like yeah. That's
all good points.
Yeah,
29-year-old Alex Caruso.
Same.
DeMar DeRozan at 34.
I'd say probably the same. Maybe you kind of want to feel like maybe a teeny bit worse, but I don't know. He's held up pretty good, so I'll say the same.
Io at the age of 23.
God, you'd hope better, but I think this is going to depend how you look at it. Like, I think he's going to play fewer minutes and have less opportunity. So I think per minute he'll be better, but like his totals are going to be down. But I think he'll play better. I think he'll have fewer minutes, but I think he'll play better.
I guarantee he'll play better. Andre Drummond at the age of 30.
Same. I think he'll do the same.
I'd say worse on the roster anymore. Carlick Jones.
I don't know that Carlick Jones will make the roster.
I hope he does. I like the dude. He's a good guy. But you're right. He's probably not
going to
be
around. If he does, Zach, I'd say we'll say same.
Zach LaVine.
I think Zach will be a little better this year.
I agree. We're simpatico on a lot of these. Let's get into Dalen Terry.
I don't know if Dalen Terry is going to play, but he can't be any worse, really.
That's exactly right. It's only up. Kobe White.
I think about the same, maybe, you know, yeah, probably about the same.
Arrow up on Kobe White. I predict he'll be better. Vooch.
Okay.
23-year-old Kobe White, by the way.
32-year-old Vooch. I think Vooch will be worse.
I agree. And finally.
Vooch had actually maybe the second best season of his career last year. Like when you look at like a lot of advanced metrics.
Are you serious?
It was a really solid year for Vooch after an absolute disaster 2 years ago. I mean, he really rebounded and played pretty well last year. But
yeah, he had a lot of nice moments. Although I thought
he played a slight downtick this year.
Although I will admit, I thought he played much worse down the stretch than he did to start out the season. And he was, let's just say, he wasn't at his peak when it mattered most. Patrick Williams, this is the final one. What say you at the age of 22? He's 22. He's 19, 20, 21, 22
years old.
Only
22. No matter what age Patrick Williams is, you have to insert "only" in front of it.
It's until he's about at what age do you stop? Do you stop saying "only"?
I don't think I'd ever with Patrick Williams. No, just keep saying "only" until the joke becomes not funny. I think
only 28 is no. I think only 29 is probably the year. That's the year.
Once he's not a bull, then you can stop saying it. But as long as he's a bull, Patrick Williams is only 26. A lot of guys at 27 get a lot better. I don't really anticipate significant improvements in Pat Williams. I think he's going to be about the same.
Oh, man, it's this disheartening.
Do you disagree?
No, I'll be C. Reddish here and say he's going to be better. I saw improvements from him last year. I thought he was better last year.
It depends on what we mean by improvements. We maybe should have set the bar earlier as to what we mean by improvements.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you look at last year, we would agree Coby White was better last year than the year before, but statistically he wasn't. Right, statistically, 2 years ago he was better.
The thing about Patrick,
everyone thinks Coby White was better last year. So, you know, I think Patrick Williams might be a little better in the sense that Coby White was better last year than 2 years ago. But I don't think it's going to be the level within margin of error is maybe a better way to put it. Like within margin of error, I don't know that anyone is going to change. Like there's no one I see who's going to have a huge drop off or anyone I see who's going to have a huge rise. I think within reasonable margin of error, everyone is going to be the same.
Let me give you just a quick final note on Patrick Williams. Where I saw his improvements last year, the largest improvements were on the defensive end. Like I thought he was significantly better as an individual defender, navigating screens, everything he did better as an off-ball defender. He was much better last year.
You could see him grow defensively throughout the year.
Yeah, you could see it growing. You could see him getting better. Offensively, I saw the same guy I saw rookie year. I got to be honest with you. Like, do you ever – I can count on one hand the amount of times I saw Patrick Williams get the ball, blow by a defender, take it in, and finish at the rim. Like,
his most common move, he's just not going to do that.
His big move is honestly dribbling into a contested jumper at the free throw line. It's like, that's not a good shot. He takes a lot of mid-range off the dribble jumpers that I'm like, I just don't see it offensively. And I hope I'm wrong. I take that back. Shooting a three, he's been good. He's been really good and keeps up that.
If he just improves his release speed, I'm fine there.
Yeah, yeah.
If he just improves his release speed, does everything else the same? Like you'd be really happy. If Pat Williams just shot 5.5 threes a game at 40% and then played good defense and could be versatile, be a pretty great player, right?
Valuable role player. But this idea that, hey, let's get DeMar off the floor so we can have Patrick go, you know, one-on-one on a guy.
It's only fringe.
Is insane. Yeah. Only mouth breathers say that.
I mean, you could say that. If your thought is like, let's do that and be really bad and get draft picks and it's part of a rebuild. But if you say that because you think the team is going to be better in the short term, you're nuts. Like, there's a case for doing that of just like, hey, look, we're not going anywhere. Let's just roll off the roster. Let's win 15 games. Make Pat the primary ball handler on 50 possessions a game and see what happens. Like, there's a case for doing that. But that case is not that you're going to be a better team. You're going to be a way worse team. So, like, I don't think anyone who thinks you should be with DeMar thinks it will make the team better in the short run.
No, there's just, some of
it's
them
like
out
a
there.
Different, it's a piece of an argument to do something totally different.
Brother, let's bring the bus in. It's always good to talk to you, DT. I know you got a hard stop, and so do I at 2 o'clock. God bless you, brother. Godspeed. And the season's almost here. Let's go, Bulls.
Go, Bulls.